Beginning Parshas Yisro, we find that Yitro, the father-in-law of Moshe, came to Moshe with his sons and his wife to the wilderness where he was encamped by the mountain of God. He said to Moshe, "I, your father-in-law Yitro, have come to you with your wife and her two sons with her." Moshe went out to meet his father-in-law, and he prostrated himself, and he kissed him, and each inquired about the other's well-being, and they came to the tent. Moshe told his father-in-law everything that Hashem had done, etc. Yitro rejoiced over the good Hashem had done for Israel and rescued them from Egypt. Yitro said, "Blessed is Hashem who has rescued from land Egypt, from the hand of Pharaoh." And then we find in Pasuk Yud-Beis, Yitro, the father-in-law of Moshe, took an elevation offering and a feast offerings for God. And Aaron and all the elders of Israel came to eat bread with the father-in-law of Moshe before God. We take a look at this section. Looking at the entire section, there are a number of questions we have on these psukim. First of all, we'll break them up in their order. When Yisrael says to Moshe, "I, your father-in-law Yitro, have come to you," Rashi says, "Anichotancha im ein ata yotze begini se begini shtecha." Why does Yitro first mention, "I, your father-in-law, have come to you with your wife and two sons with her"? So Rashi says, "I want you to come out and greet me." That's what Yitro is saying. And if you're not going to greet me for me, greet me for your wife and for your children. What is this here? That Yisrael is looking for honor? That Moshe Rabbeinu should come out and greet him? We need to understand what this greeting is all about. That's question one. Question two, we find that when Yitro hears all the wonderful things that Hashem does, he praises Hashem, Baruch Hashem. We take a look at source number 6. The Gemara says that it was a disgrace for Moshe and the Jews. They did not give words of praise until Yisrael came and said, "Blessed is Hashem." This seems difficult to understand. It's inconceivable that Moshe and the nation would not have praised Hashem for all the miracles they experienced. So you can explain that Yisrael did not praise Hashem for personal benefit. The Jews, of course, praised Hashem, but had personal benefit. We still need to understand the significance that Chazal mentioned that Yisrael's praise of Hashem was something extraordinary. What was something so extraordinary about Yisrael's praise of Hashem? And finally, the question I'd really like to focus in on Mirz Hashem today is Pasuk Yud-Beis. Yitro, the father-in-law of Moshe, took an elevation offering and feast offerings for God. What was the nature of these offerings? What was he doing with these offerings? Why was he bringing these offerings? And Aaron and all the elders came to eat bread with the father-in-law Moshe before God. Why do we need to know that they sat and ate bread? Like, okay, I understand, there's offerings. I get it. They brought a korban. For whatever reason, Mirz Hashem tried to understand. But if the Chumash is going to tell us that they ate bread, the bread has to be of significance as well. And here we come to a very, very fascinating medrash that we need to understand. The Asufos Marochos Rav Goldwich brings down that we have later in Sefer Shmuel, when Shaul HaMelech is fighting with Amalek, or about to fight with Amalek, he tells the descendants of Yisroel to move out of that area to save them from the inclement war. So the pasuk says, "Vayomer Shaul Alakeni lechu saru, redu mitoch amaleki penu sifchaimo, move away so you don't get caught up in this war." Vata fita chesed im kol bnei Yisrael balotam eretz Yisrael. For you, the Keni, your great great grandfather has done chesed, kindness with the entire Jewish people when they left Egypt. Rashi on the spot asks, what was the chesed that Yitro did for the entire Jewish people? Shenanu Mesudoso Moshe V'Aaron V'Chozik Bnei Yisrael, that they enjoy the feast, Moshe, the elders, that Yisrael prepared. And when, because they enjoyed the feast, it says, if Kilo Asach Chesedim Kol Bnei Yisrael, they did kindness with the entire Jewish people. So we have to understand here what's going on here. Okay, I understand they did a chesed, they made a meal. Granted, but that's a chesed for the entire Jewish people. It seems difficult to understand. And further, there obviously has to be some significance that specifically it's the war of Amalek that that the children of Yisro are being saved from. We need to understand that as well. And finally, the end of the pasuk says that they ate before God, offerings before God, and they ate before God. Rashi tells us, source number 5, Mikan shenet hanen nemesudot shetamidei chachamim subim ba kilu nemes nesiv hashchina. What do you mean they ate in front of God? Right? Everything's in front of God. No. If you eat, yes, but it means more specifically. If you eat, says Rashi, Chazal, with the suit of Tamidei Chachamim, it says, if you are rejoicing, your nene mesiv Hashchina, rejoicing from the presence of Hashem. So on a simple level, Zechariah Moshe points out in 5b and c, this is a reference to that the nations usually have a division between body and soul. Here we have the ability to elevate the physical. So when you elevate the physical, you really feel Hashem's presence. Granted, that makes sense. Obviously, if it's going to be emphasized here, there's something we need to understand and learn from. What is this feast, this bread that was eaten before God? What is the significance for us? That, my friends, is where we're going to go today. Why was Yisrael so insistent, first and foremost, that Moshe Rabbeinu come and greet him? Was he looking for honor? Second of all, we need to understand this explanation of Baruch Hashem. What was this greatness that Yisrael said? Third, what is the significance of these offerings? What were these offerings? The significance of the bread? Why is the bread mentioned here? And in what way is this a Midah Keneged Midah generations later with Amalek? And finally, what does it mean, Lifnei Halukim? We'll begin with the Birkas Mordechai with our first question. So, the Birkas Mordechai quotes Rashi. If you don't come out for me, come out for my wife. If not for my wife, come out for your children. Vayetze Moshe. Moshe went out. Kavod Gadol Nivkaved Yitro Moshe Shah. Yisrael had tremendous honor at that hour. Since Moshe came out, so Aaron and Nadav and Avihu also came out. And anyone who saw that, they also came out. What's going on here? Musar Luchara. Klum Derashi Dro Kavod Latzma. What's going on here? Yisrael's interested in honor for himself. That he says, you know, Baal Chabdeni Chodni Moshe, come and honor me? It doesn't seem to make any sense. So rather we have to say that Yisro here is teaching us a very important lesson. And indeed, we always wonder, why is Yisro given the name? Yisro is given as the name of the parsha, which has Maman Har Sinai in it. The giving of the Torah is in this parsha. We call it Yisro, the name of a non-Jew. So Yisrael, we know, added a parsha of the Torah, which means Yisrael set up the idea of the whole, you know, judiciary system, granted. But however, Yisrael taught us a lesson even before that. And it's connected with his name, that Yisrael came. Vayishma Yisrael. Be'etzem kach, omnam smicha larot kabbalah panim l'chol acham Yisrael. Yisrael is teaching us a lesson. And that lesson is the importance of greeting people. Zehu Yisuma Sha Mitzvah Ben Adam L'Chaveiro. This is what the Mitzvah of Ben Adam L'Chaveiro means. That any person, no matter who they are, deserves respect and deserves the greeting. Hinei Kach in 8, Eifo Nasim Et Tardrim B'Fiv Shal Yitro. Bo V'Yitzacha, let me tell you something. Ech Tavseh Nachad Ruach L'Konecha. You want to bring, kivyochel, goodwill to Hashem? I'll tell you how to do this. For Hashem. Hashem wants the Ben Adam L'Chaveiro, the Vahafta Recha Kamocha. That this is the Yisod Musa B'Sedir Avodas Hashem. Lo Rek L'Astir Mechitzot El L'Chaveid B'Kol Koach U'Bechol Tokev. It's not just enough to say hello to somebody and break down the ice that you've greeted somebody. No! It goes much more beyond that. You have to take an interest in the person. You have to go and greet the person. You have to show kavod to the person. You have to show honor to the person. You have to make sure that the person recognizes they are created in the image of God and you're treating them as one who is created in the image of God. When Yisrael says, I'm coming out, and basically he's saying, I want you to greet me, it's not for his honor. It's for us to understand he's teaching us a lesson. You want to know how to greet people? I'm teaching you. You greet every person with the respect that they deserve. You know, the Medrash tells us that when a person leaves this world, there's a number of questions that are asked the person. And one of the questions is, did you make your friend king over you in good spirit, with good feeling? Himlachta, as a king. Kizewa shiur minimali. This is the minimal way we have to ask. As if it's your king. As if you're greeting Hashem himself. This is what Yisro is teaching us. And here's the punchline in 10b. Listen closely, my friends. Kavod ein notin mishum shechavercha zakuk lo. When I treat somebody with honor, it's not just because they need it. Ela be'ikar mishum she'ata zakuk lo. You need it. Zakuk l'chaved. You need to know what it means to honor. Lamlich et hachaver. To make a person king. Et zodi leftad yitro. Moshe v'chol Yisrael. Zo alimut. V'zo aderech alo be'kel. That's the lesson. You know, they tell a maaser in Shanghai when the Mir Yeshiva was there. Very few weddings that went on there. Whatever wedding went on there, they had a custom of Mir, that they would praise the chassan to the nth degree, right? They, you know, the mind of the Shagas Aryeh, and, you know, they would go on and on. And everyone knew, it was like, you know, hello, like, the chassan didn't have a mind like the Shagas Aryeh necessarily, and it was a little bit over the top. So they went to the Mashkiach, who they knew was very Ish Emes, and they said, you know, quote, Harav, we think that this little minhag, this little custom should be, you know, abolished. This is just inappropriate. It's lies. And he answered them, he says, no, it's not only should be abolished, it should be reinforced. And he said, and this is going on over 100 years ago, imagine today. He said, it's so hard, almost 100 years ago, it's so hard for people to compliment somebody else. It's so hard for people to build up another person. Do you know what joy it brings me, he says, to hear people praise the chassan to the nth degree? This is it. It's not just for the chassan. It's for the people praising, that they should know what it's like to go out and make another person feel good. It's good for your midos. It's good for who you are. So first and foremost, why was it necessary for Moshe Rabbeinu to go out and greet Yitro? It wasn't for Yitro's sake. He's asking in order to teach Klal Yisrael a lesson, that whenever a person comes into your Talit Amos, you should greet them with the greatest kavod possible, with the biggest smile. How are you? And really take an interest in how they are and what they need, and be able to really give the person the kavod that they deserve. That's lesson one. The second idea of why Yitro wanted Moshe Rabbeinu to come out is something that Rav Schwab brings in source number 11. And he quotes here an idea from a disciple of the Avnei Nezer. And he says, a person creates a ruach tumah, a force of impurity, which accompanies him wherever he goes. But when this sinner receives honor from a godly person, a servant of Hashem, who's dedicated to holiness, these forces of impurity become frightened and flee. And he adds that this is one of the reasons for the mitzvah of kavod ames, honoring any deceased person, even one who's unworthy of honor during this lifetime. This is so in order to eliminate the forces of impurity that was created as a result of the person's sins. Yisro had practiced every form of idolatry, undoubtedly was accompanied by multitudes of impure forces. He could not have entered the holy camp of Israel with these impure forces accompanying him. Yisro therefore asked Moshe to honor him so these impure forces would depart. And this is much more practical level. That Yisro said, how can I enter the camp of Israel which is so holy? I need you, Moshe Rabbeinu, to allow these spiritual forces to flee in order for me to come in. Similar to this in the Chidushei Arim, the Leif Tahor, Rav Avigdor Parnas notes in Source 13, quotes the Chidushei Arim, Katav Shebevadai, Imaya Yitro, Rotze, Bechol HaKavod HaZeh La'atzmo, Lo Yam Moshe Mekablo. It was just for honor himself, Moshe wouldn't have come out. Ela Yisro Ratzal Lachnis HaTzmo Tachai Kanfei Shechina. He wanted to come under the Kanfei Shechina, the wings of HaShadosh Baruch Hu, and he knew that he was so far to be worthy of this, and therefore he understood that if Moshe Rabbeinu would come out and greet him, he would be able then to enter into the camp. And he'd be able then to be able to convert. It was almost as if there was that, the clouds created a barrier that one wasn't allowed to enter, whether physically or spiritually. And Yisro, understanding this, said, please help me, if not for me, for your wife, for your children, allow them to convert, allow them to come in, even though, as he notes at the end of 13 from the Panim Yafot, that his wife and children's conversion still was a valid conversion. They were able to come into the cloud. He wasn't. And therefore Moshe Rabbeinu, so to speak, had to go out and to greet him. Okay, so we understand that Yisro is asking that for himself as a teaching a lesson for us. And practically, he needed to come into the camp, and he was unable to unless Moshe Rabbeinu would come out and greet him. Let's try to understand a little bit. What was the sacrifice that Yisro gave and the placement of this lechem? So there is a medrash in Shmos Rabbah. It's a gevaldic medrash. Listen closely. The medrash in Source 14 says the following. Vayishma Yisro. Yisro heard. Ha'u dichtiv. This is what's written. Shlach lach mechal p'nei ha'mayim ki berov ha'yamim timseinu. Pasuk in Kohelet. Send your bread out on the water because over time you're going to find it. V'chimi b'nei adam shotim e'im shenotim lachmam p'nei ha'mayim. Are people stupid enough to throw bread on the water? V'almi amar. Who is this pasuk referring to? Yisro. Yisro shenatan lachmo l'moshe. Yisro gave his bread to Moshe. Originally, when Moshe Rabbeinu saved the daughters of Yisro by the well, and they came home, and he said, why did you come home so early? Well, this man saved us. He says, and you left him out by the well? Kra'en alo, call him v'yochal lechem. Let him eat bread. Havei shlach lach mechal p'nei amayim v'moshe. This is what it means. Send your bread on the water. Who's the water? That's Moshe Rabbeinu. Ki min ha'mayim ishitiyu, because from the water he was drawn. Ki berov ha'yamim timseinu, over time you'll find him. Vayavo Aaron v'chol zikne Yisrael lechol lechem im chotem Moshe. Because over time, Moshe Rabbeinu will likewise eat bread from Yisro, and that's in our case. Let's understand this, my friend. Medrash is so deep. Medrash is teaching us such a lesson. Let's try to understand the lesson. Heichan matza Yitro berov ha'yomim et ha'lechem sheshalach ha'pnei ha'mayim. V'arei b'shtei parashios kachad heim parasu melachmo l'achirim b'tchila l'moshe l'mosof l'aron u'l'chol zikne Yisrael. V'amnam ha'medu shemeid ha'sudah shnei ha'zu ha'marakam parasha nitkabed Yitro kavod gadoi de'aron zikenim. Yes, I understand that Yitro is getting honor at this meal, but what does this mean? That the bread that he offered earlier is now coming back to him later. What's the connection between the earlier bread of providing Moshe after saving his daughters with the bread here? So this is the yesod that Rav Goldfuss Zatzal and Asufos Marachos establishes, and it's absolutely stupendous, in my humble opinion. Not that I need to comment. Source 16. I enjoyed this idea. Let's put it that way. He says, when you take a look at the first of the Aseret Dibros. So the first of the Aseret Dibros says, Anochi Hashem Elokecha, I am the Lord your God, who took you out of Mitzrayim. And the famous question that's asked is, why does it say, I'm the Lord your God, took you out of Mitzrayim? Why does it say, I'm the Lord your God, who created heaven and earth? So he says that in order for Hashem to be our God, Ki lo titachen kabbalah machut hakfa elamitoch, in the bracket in 16, Ritzono gamor shel makabel. In order for Hashem really to be our Hashem, we, the people, have to want Him. We have to really be a clean people. We have to be a receptacle to receive from Hashem. And the order to be able to have that, elorak hamachuvayu tanoser mikoch hakaras atopavat. One of the strongest ways that we feel that we want to have a relationship with Hashem is predicated on the idea of a karas hatov, predicated on the idea of gratitude. When we recognize all that HaKadosh Baruch Hu has done for us, Yitzhak Mitzrayim, and the Nisim, and the Midbar, and the Man, and the Kriyas Yavs, all these wonderful things, then we feel like, wow, Hashem has done so much for us. All we want to do is to respond in kind. And all 49 days, the Chol Otam, Mem Tejumim, Sheochu Yisrael b'Midbar Likrat Elokim Noadu Lamiket Hergashim Halalu. 49 days. What they were doing was strengthening and deepening this idea of Tchushat Hakarat Tov Lekel Motziam, feeling over and over again, deeper and deeper, how indebted they are to Hashem. Ubekach Lachshiram, and in that way to prepare them to this great Maimed Har Sinai to make Hashem king. And the way he describes it so beautifully, Rav Goldfuss Zatzal. V'nafsham hayta kmeha kol sefer u'mitrapeket el kel motziyam. Their soul was desiring, was anxious, was eagerly waiting to have this relationship with the Kodesh Baruch Hu. I can't wait for this. And then, my friends, right before Maimed Har Sinai, What happened right before Mamet Har Sinai? With Vayavo Amalek? What was Amalek compared to? A Shekarcha Baderech? Like cooling down a cold bath. A hot bath. They were on fire, Klal Yisrael. Ready to have this relationship with Hashem. Vayavo Amalek. And suddenly everything cooled down. Really? Hashem really protects us. Hashem's there all the time. Hayesh Hashem Mekibenu Mayin. Amalek is stuff like same numerical value. Really? I really need to give myself over to Hashem completely. Vayav Amalek. Amalek cooled us down. And then we have entering into, in some way, it affected the Klal Yisrael's ability to receive the Torah with that same passion, with that same enthusiasm. Now, my friends, we can appreciate when Yisro comes and he says those key words, Baruch Hashem, Hodul Hashem, praise Hashem, look at all the wonderful things Hashem has done for you. This is the Hodul Hashem. This is the appreciation that Yisro gave to Klal Yisrael. Don't be affected by Amalek. Be able to overcome the Amalek effect on you and feel that Akar Sato. That Baruch Hashem, that is the Suda of Yisro. That is, as the Ben Melech noted, this is the Shalmei Chagiga. This is the Lechem Atoda. This is the bread. This is the Korban of the Korban Toda that Yisro brought. This is the appreciation, and it was a gift for all of Klal Yisrael. Because when Yisro came and said this to them, it reawakened in them that feeling of, yes, we have those kisufim, we have those longings, we have those desires, and indeed we want to be Makabel Torah. And hence we understand why it's Dafka in the War of Amalek down the road, in times of Shmuel, that the people of Yisro, descendants, are saved. Yisro, who was able to counteract the effect of Amalek once in history, in that chus, in the next war of Amalek, the descendants of Yisro are saved. And now we can appreciate Shlach Lach Lachma Alamayim. Send out your bread on the water. What was the garin? What was the source of the original time that Yisro fed Moshe Rabbeinu? It was Hakaras Hatov. He said to his daughters, how can you just have this person help you out and not reciprocate? Call him, let him eat bread. The whole idea of Yisro feeding Moshe Rabbeinu originally was that of Hakaras Hatov. And we, Klal Yisrael, have to follow suit and recognize that's why Parshat Yisro, Yehudim, is the name of Mamet Har Sinai. That Hakaras Hatov of Yisro then sprouted to that tremendous Hakar Satov in our Parsha, Baruch Hashem, which enabled the effect, the ripple effect, talking about water, the ripple effect, was enabled for Klal Yisrael to feel this level of Hakar Satov, and then were able to be Makabel the Torah. So the first idea of what was the Korban of Yisro? It was the Korban Toda. It was a Korban of appreciation for what HaKadosh Baruch Hu did, which ignited Klal Yisrael's feeling, enabling them to receive the Torah. Hence, Yisro is a perfect name for this week's Parsha. The second idea is found in source number 23. Nir Lefarish Oki Nei Tazo Suda Bris Shel Yisro. This was a Suda for the Bris of Yisro. As Ramban writes, Kan Shiyuskayer B'mila V'tfila V'artzad Domin K'mishpat. He was Miskayer, and we know, Ubibris Kivyachol HaKadosh Baruch Hu Nochach. We know it's as if, on the day of a bris, Hashem is present, as the Sforna points out. Beginning Parshat Vayera, when Hashem appeared to Avraham Avinu Elonei Mamre, why did he appear? So says the Sforna, Kisham Nimol Avramah. This was a time that Avraham Avinu had bris milah, his entire house had a bris milah. When you have a bris milah, this is when HaKadosh Baruch Hu appears. Kimishpat L'cho Charte Bris. Double underline, this is the way of anyone who makes a covenant. Both sides are present. Likewise, by Moshe Rabbeinu, Vayifkasheu Hashem, in Parshat Shmot, when he does a bris milah for his son, or Sipporah does, rather. This is for us to recognize that when a bris milah happened, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, Kivyachol's presence is there. Because it's a Charte Bris, it is making a covenant. We'll just point out here, my friends, that this idea that a Kaddish Baruch Hu is here and that you make a Suda, that this explains to us an idea that Rabelsky points at Ene Yisrael. And he talks about, we're not talking about halachically, halacha l'maisa, I'm bringing it down, what you should do, ask your LOR, local Orthodox rabbi, is what are you allowed to eat in a shul? So he says in 25, these include drinking the cup of Abdullah and a bris milah and the banquet in honor of Kiddush HaChodesh. So he says, what is the difference between a Shabbos Suda, which cannot be held in a Beis Knesset, despite the fact that it is a mitzvah to eat it, and those other types of Suda that are permitted? In other words, why is Suda Shabbos not considered a Suda's mitzvah, if it's indeed a mitzvah to eat it? The answer hinges on the understanding that not every act may be performed in shul simply by virtue of being a mitzvah. There are many mitzvahs, the nature of which require them to perform outside the Beis Knesset. The sanctity of the shul precludes the performance of certain actions, even if they are Torah-ordained mitzvot. For example, shul may not be used to fill the mitzvah of kisui hadam, since it's clearly inappropriate. Likewise, though the suda Shabbos is eaten in fulfillment of mitzvah, this too may not be take place in a shul, for eating is far too physical an act to be performed for its own sake in a structure focused on the sublime. In contrast, 26, the other sudas which may be held in the shul are mitzvah celebration. The meal served in honor of Kiddush HaChodesh or Bris Milah is a Suda Shel Mitzvah, which means a celebration of the fulfillment of a mitzvah. A Suda's mitzvah does not mean there's a mitzvah to eat. Rather, it's a means of demonstrating chavivos and kavod, love and honor for a mitzvah. The Suda makes the performance of a mitzvah a happy, joyous occasion. It's an act of celebration that shows the esteem which we hold the fulfillment of that particular mitzvah. Thus, it's possible to hold the Suda's mitzvah to Beis Knesset because the purpose lies not in the eating, even if the eating would itself be a mitzvah, but rather in being the vehicle through which we show the importance of the Torah and its mitzvahs in our lives, showing honor and appreciation for a mitzvah is compatible with the sanctity of the Beis Knesset. This perhaps is the reason why the Pasuk tells us in Aaron and all the elders of Israel came to eat bread with Moshe's father-in-law in the presence of God. Here too, the Torah describes for us the Suda's mitzvah that was made for Yisro in celebrating and of his embracing the precepts of the Torah by saying, "Now I know that Hashem is greater than all the other gods." The sanctity of this event was such that it could be celebrated lifnei Elokim in the presence of God. So idea number two, before we segue into three, was it a Suda Sadaya, a Suda of giving thanks? Was it a Suda of Bris Milah? And indeed, if it's a Suda Bris Milah, it's not just about the food, it's about the chavivas ha-mitzvah. It's about the specialness of the mitzvah. So when the Chumash goes out of its way to tell us that they ate bread, it's telling us that the bread was there to enhance, and the korbanos were there to enhance the mitzvah observance, in this case of Bris Milah. We'll just add parenthetically, my friends, that we note, and this is something that Samdera points out, Reb Roida, Chevro Shiva in 24, L'chara muchach mikan shelcho bris mila osim suda. We can say, perhaps from here, that every bris mila needs a suda. And when we talk about a suda, parentheses in a parentheses, the halachic understanding of a suda is not bagels and lox, but rather meat and wine, right? Basar v'nyayin, that's a suda siyanta. So if we're talking about that Yisro brought a korban, which is meat, that we should understand that a real bris milah should have, again, ask your LOR how you want to handle it, but really should have bread and meat and have a proper suda. They should have candles lit, any suda's mitzvah, whatever it is, suda's perum, suda's sheva brachot, any suda should have candles lit, a suda's mitzvah. It enhances what the mitzvah is all about. In reality, my friends, the suda sodaya, the suda of Bris Milah, is really a suda of Geirus. And that's what Rav Belsky was saying, that when Yisro says, you know, Baruch Hashem, now I know Hashem is greater than all the other gods, he was Bimagayer, he was converting. And this was a suda, Bris Milah was part of this, this was a suda of conversion. And that becomes the Suda's mitzvah. So again, it's part of the Bris Milah, the conversion. Here we're emphasizing the converting part, not just the Bris Milah part. And here, the Asufos Baruchos, once again, speaks about what is the basis. You say that this was a Suda's of Geirus. So then the question becomes, what was the kindness that Yisro did for all of Klai Yisrael that his descendants are saved in the War of Amalek? And he says in 29, we're going to state here a very important principle. Shekvar nitbayar lefanei parashat Shemot, we've already mentioned. Achad ha-yisodot ha-merkazim shetarat chochmei ha-met doreshet bahem. One of the fundamental ideas that the Hidden Torah speaks about. Morel lanu shetachlit ha-golios, the galut Mitzrayim v'prat, hilokov v'lalo nitzotzot shal kdusha mitzuyim ba-umos olam. One of the reasons why Klal Yisrael, the Jewish people, go into exile is what we call to pick up sparks, like vacuum cleaner. Pick up sparks of non-Jews that live in these different regions, who then convert to Judaism. And they're able to take who and what they are and be able to elevate it to holiness. Every nation has a certain blessing in it. And that which is special in it. Every nation has some aspect, some spiritual aspect, something special that they add to the spectrum of this world that makes them unique. Very often, these great qualities, these great aspects, are so buried deep within the nation that it's hard to access it. And that's where the Geirim come along. The Geirim, the converts, create this ability to uncover, to unravel this nitzotz, this spark, and be able to bring it to Klal Yisrael. Ruth is a perfect example, where she had certain qualities that Klal Yisrael weren't able to have. And Ruth was able to bring them to Klal Yisrael and become the Uma, the Im Shel Uma, the mother of all royalty, Ima Shel Malchus. And we have to understand, Ki HaTachlit HaMerkazit Shel Golios in the Arrow 30, He Not Kamur L'Lakeda Kochot HaKdusha Blu'im Be'umos. Our job, when we go to these nations, is to be able, we don't obviously look for converts, but when converts come to us, we have to recognize that the converts offer us something that we couldn't get anywhere else. And our job is to be able to draw that in. Now I can appreciate in 33, Sheyitro Kohen Midjan Aviyam Shel Geirimu. Yisro, the Kohen of Midjan, is the father of converts. Hu Shelo Hiniach Avodah Zarah Shelo Avda. There wasn't one idol worship he hadn't worshipped. Vekir Ladat Lefly Vithim Kol Tuma V'Chol Zuma. He knew all the impurity. Chidesh B'Kol Tokvo V'Gurato Matzav Avodah Miuchad L'Geirus. U'Kishamad Yitro Vekir Ladat. When Yitro, who had recognized and tried every single idolatry in the world, when he says, Ki gadol Hashem mikol Elokim, great is Hashem from all gods, Ratam v'shibeda takara mukasha lo basifat kol Elokim, v'shibeda skulat kochot v'yakulam yitiyat Hashem, he's bringing to the fore that clear knowledge. There is none other than Hashem. Ein od mavato. Now I can appreciate the bread that he fed them. That food wasn't just food. It was on a deeper level. He's like initiating the idea of conversion in Klal Yisrael. Yisro ha'enik l'knes Yisrael kochot ha'chibur v'nechol l'kodesh. Botam gvanim shelo ayu be'asei yad shomi sharatov le'etovik dushav. Until now, Klal Yisrael, who are the children of the Avos, weren't able to access this. Granted, there was the Eruv Rav, but you saw what problems we had with the Eruv Rav. Yisrael is the first one to come in and say that you can have a ger, you can have a convert who's going to be able to bring goodness, who's going to be able to bring a different dimension. And that's v'atav sita chesedim kol Yisrael. That food, shebali meidat et Yisrael arechan magia koch ha-chibur. What Yisro was teaching them, how you can take from the farthest corners of the world, the most distant aspect of the world, and bring it so close to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, to be able to connect with HaKadosh Baruch Hu. This is the greatness of what Yisro is about. He's teaching Klal Yisrael the greatness of what Geirim are about. This meal is a meal of initiation. And it's interesting. The Torah Zemes, Rabbi Leib Eger, in verse 35, explains when Yisro originally comes, the pasuk we began with, and he says, he said to Moshe, I, your father-in-law, Yitro, have come to you with your wife and her sons with her. He said to Moshe, Vayomer, V'tevarani, 35 in the bracket, Kai el Hashem Yitbarach, Shamar lo Moshe, Ani hu shani mekarev, Ani hu shani merachek, Chotrancha Yitro, Bay lech litgayer, Afata takriveyo v'al terichakeyu adkan. Ah, so beautiful. Says the Torah Semes. He said to Moshe, I, your father-in-law, Yitro, have come to you. I is a reference to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. I have come to tell you that I am the one who has brought Yitro close. I am the one who have come to you. I am the one who's telling you, take him in. That Hashem says that the converts are so beloved to me. Shalom, shalom, l'rachok v'l'karov. 35, the whole. That Hashem loves those who are far and those who are close. And Hashem says, Yisro is so beloved to me. And that I want you to take him in and not distance him, because I myself have taken him in. And this is what the parsha of Yisro is about. Yisro being the ger, and Yisro also being the model, says the Torah Semes, of the Baal Tshuva, of those who was far away from Hashem and then comes close. Why is it called Parshas Yisro? To teach us that it's not just the Talmidei Chachamim, the scholar who are sitting in the study halls that are close to Hashem, but me, like, you know, Rachmanis. No, Hashem is close to each and every one of us. Ani, I am coming with Yisro. I love those who are far, who want to come close. And that's what we need to understand, that each and every one of us, no matter where we're at, have the ability to come close. It's Geirim for sure, it's converts, it's Balei Tshuva, it's any and each and every one of us, wherever we are on the continuum, to come close to us. So my friend, just to summarize the second part, then we'll get to the third Amir Tzashem. What was the korban that Yisro brought? It could be a korban shlomit, a thankfulness offering. It was a korban for bris milah. It was a korban for geirus, and really it was a korban for all three. It was a korban to show gratitude to Hashem that he has the ability to come close. It's a suda of bris milah, it's a suda of geirus, and it's a suda to teach Klal Yisrael of how Hashem loves the converts and how the converts do us a favor by bringing aspects that are found in the nations of the world that are not part of our genetic DNA and able to bring them in to the rubric and fabric of Klal Yisrael, and enhances our Avodas Hashem and enhances our service of God. So we have Moshe Rabbeinu going out to greet Yisrael. We have the going out and being sensitivity to every person, wanting to come under the convey of Shechina, so he had to come out, because otherwise he wouldn't be able to come into the cloud. We have the importance of the Suda, Hakara Satov, gratitude, which is such a fundamental principle in Yiddishkeit, and it's what it's all about. And we have this lechem, this food is the lechem of Hakara Satov. What does it mean that they ate Lifnei Halokim? So we saw that you eat of a Suda, of a Tami Chacham, of a scholar. It's not a regular meal. It's a special meal. And you feel as if you're in front of Hashem. 36, Haras Derech, Vayavo Aaron v'chol zignei Yisrael l'chol lechem v'chotei Moshev Zei Elokim. And he brings this, Shekol ha-ne'aneh m'suda shel tamid chacham shorei b'tocha. Anyone who enjoys, who benefits from a meal that a tamid chacham is found within, kilu ne'aneh b'ziv ha-shechina, as if you're enjoying from the presence of Hashem. B'mechitzatam shel tamidei chachamim ha-kol mitaleh. So explains Rav Weisblum Shlita. What does this mean? When you are in the presence of a tamid chacham, everything is elevated. Hadibra mitaleh. What you speak about is going to be elevated. Hanaga mitaleh v'gam achila mitaleh. Your behavior is different. The food is different. Ad shasuda ofechel usuda shel gadlus. It becomes a great meal. Ad kidei argasha v'riya b'leiv shashchina shamui b'neinu. You feel Hashem's presence. So when it says that they ate in front of Hashem, on the most technical, which is not so technical level, when you eat a sudas mitzvah, and or you eat a suda of meal with Talmidei Chachamim, great people, so the whole nature is different. They're not just sitting there telling jokes or talking politics. They're talking about Torah, and their decorum is about Torah, and their speech is about Torah. And you know what? you suddenly feel that Hashem is there, Hashem is present there. And that physical act of eating becomes elevated into a whole different dynamics. However, my friends, we can take it a little bit deeper. The Tiva Torah speaks about, and we've spoken about this idea quite a number of times, and it's a very beloved idea of mine, so we're going to speak about it again. V'yadua Tiva Torah of Gamliel, Mashemichu Asfarim HaKadosh Shemim Yanzeh, Shebechol Davar U'Beprat Bechol Machal, and really in every single thing, specifically in food. T'vunin Yisot Social Kedusha. So we spoke about that there are all these sparks of Geirin, of non-Jews, that have to be brought to the fore and ignited. So there are sparks in all of our food. Vaideisha Adam Ochlo B'Kedusha. And when you eat it with holiness, you're able to bridge body and soul together, which is, again, in front of God. That's why it's so important to eat with holiness. They say that certain Hasidic rabbis, that they would not only go to Tovel, to the mikveh, before davening. They said, before davening, obviously, it's holy. You know, I don't need to prepare. I mean, I need to prepare myself, but it's clear. I need to go to the mikveh before eating, because if I'm able to take the food and elevate it, that's already where the avodah is. Okay, therefore, machshavot ha'ochel et ha'machal tuluyim rabot b'machshavot zeh shechin et ha'machal. So obviously, the one eating it has to eat it b'kedusha b'tavra, with holiness, with purity, right, having a mind, then reading it to serve Hashem, that to be able to say the appropriate brachos, to have divrei Torah at the meals. Not only that, our ability to be able to elevate our food is very much contingent on those who prepare the food. The person making the food, do they have in mind aspects of holiness? That will help be able to elevate the food. It just doesn't start when it comes on your plate. It starts with those who are preparing it, and it starts with those who are serving it. This is a very important lesson for the righteous women, asher darkam lachinat ochel, who generally prepare the food, ubeprapa machaleh shabbat vayamim tovim, specifically with Shabbat food. What you're thinking about when you peel those potatoes, right? And you make it appealing, and you say lechvod Shabbos Kodesh. Kach diena gam machshavot ha'ochlim et ha'machalim v'yedu shacharit achrayot mutel aleya. So when you are grating those potatoes and putting up the potato, to constantly say lechvod Shabbos Kodesh, to listen to a shir while you're doing it, that the shir goes into the food, to sing while your Shabbos songs, all of this will affect those who eat it, who will have more of a kedusha. So like you say, you want your house to have an environment of kedusha. A girl recently came to me and said, what should I do to make my Shabbos more Shabbos day? Which is a great question. One of the things you have to do is make sure that those who are making the food are helping you out, to give you a head start, that when you eat the food, you say, main olam haba. It's not just the taste of the food, my friends, that's important. But what are you thinking about when you make the food? A woman should daven when she makes the food. It's not just by braining challah. People know that they say all these yiratzon for every, for the water and the oil and the sugar, whatever they're putting in their challah. That's just yiratzon to say, the nine tova and daven, and when you need, you daven. You need to daven when you're needing. Good. That's not all we're talking about challah. We're talking about your kugels and your broccoli and your salads and your cakes. Then you'll feel that it's lechem lifnei Elokim. Now we can appreciate, my friend, which means, when he's making the korban, preparing the food, Chashav Yitro Machshavot Kedoshot, he had holy thoughts in mind, V'echinu L'shem Elokim, and he had in mind Zvachim Elokim, that for the sake of Hashem. V'lekach, therefore, V'yavo Aaron V'chol Zikne Yisrael L'chol Lechem M'chotei Moshe L'fnei Elokim, who garam lekach, he caused Shechshavu Gam Hei Machshavot B'nyan Elokut B'shar Achilatam, that they too would think thoughts of holiness when they ate. Ki achen kachu kochol shel poel benifal, shadam mishamesh bo yorkish b'chshvato, machshavot adam shasao. We are very much affected by the item that is made by somebody. V'idei shechashav yitro machshavot b'inyan ha-shavithi, Hashem l'negdi tomi, he affected that they are going to feel this as well. You know, I was trying to be makbid on this. You know, b'chasdei Hashem, we celebrated the chasna of our daughter this week, finally, very long engagement. And we ordered specifically, we had come in, Hamish caterers, which were like these women from Geula B'nei Brak, these old bubbies, you know, tickles down to the eyebrows, and sweetest, nicest women who served the food. And many people afterwards commented to me, like, you don't even realize that the waiters make a difference. You know, instead of having these kids coming with, you know, earrings on every, you know, whatever. And I said, you know what, I thought long and hard about this. I said, this is a wedding. This is a Seudas Mitzvah. And every part of me, I could have made the food myself. You're right. It was either the food or the shirim one. I grant you that. Whatever I could, you know, be able to control, so that at least the people serving the food will be people of Kedusha, so that the people eating the food will be Kedusha, and the environment in the wedding will be Kedusha. And B'chasdei Hashem, so many people said there was such a special environment in the wedding, and I really believe that it has to do with what you put in. It's going to be, people are going to feel the difference. So you'll say to me, well, what do waiters make a difference? I'm telling you, every part of serving the food makes a difference. Where it's a shemwal, shabbat sheva brachot. And my friend said to me, obviously you're getting waiters. I said, no, I want to serve the food. I want my friends to serve the food on Shabbos. I you know, and they think, you know, it's your simcha, you should be working. I said, this is the greatest simcha for me, that I can put in as much machshavos that I can, that this couple should have at Shabbos Shavu Brachot, the most kedusha I can give them, because it affects their entire lives, and you want to, you know, set them off on the holiest way possible. This, my friends, is a why in 42 Letitchel Yom brings Ikra Avodas Adam Hilakadesha Taruchnias. Of course, we have to, you know, elevate the spirituality. However, we also have to Elokol Maisa Nasa Yelifnei Eloki, but also the physicality, we have to elevate it. Just like when you put on tefillin, I don't know about that, but eating matzah. We know it's a Maisa Mitzvah, and I have the kavanah of a Maisa Mitzvah, right? Sit in the sukkahs, a Maisa Mitzvah, Lulav and Esro. Likewise, we have to feel that at every single thing that we do, the eating, the physical acts, are always Lifnei Elokim. Rav Volpe in 41 says something fantastic. He says, if you eat, and with that you have the Kedusha, you divrei Torah, you eat appropriately, zu hashpa'at tula, it's a double aspect. Ha'ochel hi hashpa'a min ha-shamayim, the food is an aspect from heaven, v'atari hashpa'a min ha-shamayim, and Torah is from heaven. Hashpa'a shleima zu hi hanenem ziv ha-shechina, and you really, you know, so to speak, enjoy the presence of Hashem. Yitachem Shechader ha'ochel b'yeshiva gadol yoter masher beir metrish shebozochim l'anom m'ziv ha'shchina. He says, to a certain degree, you might even say the cafeteria, the lunchroom, is even more exalted than the beis metrish. The beis metrish only has the spirituality. The lunchroom, if it's used appropriately, has the physicality and the spirituality to be able to elevate it. So this, my friends, is the idea of Lifnei Elokim. Lifnei Elokim means that our eating has to be elevated eating. Our eating has to be with a mindset that this is not just eating. It's that the preparation of the food, while I'm preparing it, the Torah that I'm listening to, the music that I'm listening to, the my own tefillos, and everything that I say has to be able to elevate me, that the food that I'm making is going to affect those who eat it. And you'll see that suddenly the people eating it, the conversation on the Shabbos table is going to be a different conversation. And you're going to say, like, what came over them? Nothing came over them. It's what came over the food, which came over you, who prepared the food, which will come over them. That's the spiritual effects that we're dealing with here. And that is a tremendous achrayus on the women to be able, whoever prepares the food, you might have husband prepare the children or your kids, but have this in mind, that it should be done with Kedusha, B'tara, with holiness, with mindset. It affects what you eat. Yisrael gave the offerings in front of God, mindset of L'shem Shemayim, and therefore they were able to eat L'shem Shemayim. Our final idea on L'fnei Elokim, that the eating was in front of God, is Mishat Shemen, Rav Kaufman, final page, final ideas, and the relevancy to our lives. And he says, V'hainu, ki b'dvarai mevuar shekasher yishu arva v'yisrael l'sinda l'fnei Moshe Rabbeinu, haya la makom lachshov shishivetam l'fnei Rabbam v'dvekutam b'moshe achshav, molnei mehem l'dabek b'dvekut k'dolai yoter, she'edvekut b'tshchina k'dosha. They're sitting by the meal of Yisrael, and they could be with Yisrael and Moshe Rabbeinu, and they could easily say, you know what? We're sitting here in front of Moshe Rabbeinu. We're sitting here enjoying this meal. Will this not take away from feeling the closeness to Hashem? Because we're so into basking in the glory of Moshe Rabbeinu that we can't connect to Kadosh Baruch Hu at the same level. And one could think that if you're involved in one thing, it's preventing you, right? You're involved in basking in the glory of Moshe Rabbeinu, the Talmid Chacham. It's preventing you from really feeling the Kedusha of Hashem. Therefore, the answer is no. No, it goes hand in hand. And that's what you need to understand here. That the eating with Moshe Rabbeinu is the eating of enjoying from a Kadosh Baruch Hu. Anyone who wants to serve Hashem, nothing is going to stand in their way. And the lesson we learn, and that's the idea of L'fnei Elokim, that even though the Zekenim and Moshe Rabbeinu were all there, it didn't prevent them from having this closeness to Hashem. The upshot for us, and that's what I want to speak about for the next few minutes. Mzeh yesh lanu lomot shekasher adam Yisrael ni'aron with 43. Nikla lufamim lotzav shal koshi v'nidmeh lo lachsho. Sometimes the person gets into a hard situation and they think, shu'asut bo maneh meh lovot Hashem karo, you know, I'm depressed, I can't do it, I can't serve Hashem properly. Azay mutal lov l'garesh malach machshavozo mimenu. You should throw away that thought and know that every situation that we're in is exactly where we need to be in order to serve Hashem. And this is a very important idea, my friends. You know, sometimes you think, you know, I'm so tired, there's no way I can daven with kavanah, so you know what, better I don't daven. Or I'm involved in doing this, so I really can't connect with that. No. Whatever situation you're in, it's tailor-made for you, and this is exactly where you need to be. Tell of a maestro, of a chassid who went from Naftali Mirupshitz, and he was complaining that he usually davens with such fervor and fire, and now he's sick, and he doesn't have that energy, and he's very depressed. And the Rebbe said to him, "Hinei sibah shebiglala yesh lecha agmas nefesh, shebiptei shencha matzlich lipalel, kamo shata rotza," the asterisk in 45. I get it. The reason why you're upset and depressed is because you can't daven the way you want to daven. Veincha lomeh, kamo shata rotza, you're not learning the way you want to learn. Aval ha'emes hi, the truth is, shemi amar shalech lipalel, kach kamo shata choshev b'rtzoncha. Who's asking you to daven the way you want to daven? You should daven the way Hashem wants you to daven. And therefore, if Hashem is putting you in this weakened state, that means He dafka wants you to daven and learn in this state. And here, my friends, is such an important yesod. We so often take up so much space that we feel if I can't do it right, and I can't do it my way, it can't be done at all. And then I've missed out. And the answer is no. That Hashem orchestrates situations, that we are in those situations, that's exactly where Hashem wants us to daven. That's where Hashem wants us to be. You're right, it may not be the way we think is the best way, but we are limited. If this is where Hashem is putting me, then this is where He wants me to serve Him at this time, and I need to have the humility to step back. And he explains at the end of 46 and 47, a very important idea. He says, we know in our parsha at the Mamad Har Sinai, Kabbalah Satorah, Pasuk says, Vahi kolos uvraki. There was thunder, there was lightning, va'anon kaved alahar. There was a thick cloud on the mountain, v'kol shofar chazak ma'od, and a great shofar, v'yachrad kol ha'am asher b'machaneh, and all the people trembled. Shulacharad madu ha'sakash baruch hu kachal, atena Torah, v'kolos uvraki, v'charad ha'aryuma. Hello! Torah's Mesuki Midvash, Torah's Meduk, Pekudei Hashem, Yisharim, Islam, Chei Levin, 47. Torah's sweet, Torah is the best thing ever. Why didn't Hashem give it to us with, I don't know, beautiful harp music in the background? Like, you know, oh, you just want to take in Torah. Like, this was pretty intense. Why did Hashem give us Torah in this way? Ella, listen closely, my friend. Shiratzah, Kodesh Baruch Hu, made up in Israel in the hour 47, Limud Gadolze. This is teach us a very important level. Listen. Shigam kishadam nimsav matzav shal nan kaveh. Even when you're in a state of a dark cloud, and every step of the way is with difficulty, you should know, even there, you can reach the closest to Hashem. The Baal Turim points out on the Pasuk, Perakuf, Pasuk Yedzayin 20:17, Moshe nigash al arfo, Moshe came to the darkest cloud, Asher Sham Elohim, where there is God, El Harafel, to the cloud, it's a gematria, El Hashchina. In our lives, this doesn't make sense, and it's all dark, and we're just hitting brick walls. You should know that there, specifically, is where God is found. Why so many of us shy away from this and say, ah, Hashem doesn't want it like this, ah, it's no good, is because in our mind we have a vision of the way we think the perfect way to serve Hashem is. And we have to be able to recognize that the perfect vision is the way Hashem envisions it. And our thoughts are not Hashem's thoughts. And here, Klal Yisrael may be sitting at this meal thinking, yeah, you know, I'm sitting with Moshe Rabbeinu, but can I also connect to Hashem? Like, isn't this blocking? Isn't there something? No. At the very moment that you think that the Suda may be a Suda that you can't feel Hashem's presence, very Dafka here, you feel Hashem's presence. And that's a paradigm. In situations where you feel like, I just can't do it. I just can't get it. Like, what does he want from me? Does he want me to daven when I'm not into it? And the answer is, yes. Because he's created your life that the situation is such that you're not into it. Or he's created these difficulties. And we have to have that humility to understand that Hashem knows what's best for us. Hasidic Rebbe, Siva Shalom, brings down once, looking back on his life, said that those moments that he thought were the highlight of his life ultimately weren't the major points in his life. And those smaller things in life where he just didn't even pay much attention to it, he realized in retrospect those were the major turning points in our lives. We need to recognize that in our life, that whatever we do, wherever we go, we are lifnei Elohim, we're in front of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and we have to elevate every single act, even with the difficulties, despite the difficulties, with the difficulties, to this higher level. And that, my friends, brings us full circle to the beginning of what we spoke about. When a person recognizes that every situation is tailor-made for them, and recognizes that every situation is in that place they can meet God, then a person recognizes the inherent kavod, the inherent honor that they have, and they're able to see the inherent honor that every person has, and they're able to treat every person in every situation in an honorable way, because no situation is devoid of godliness. It's dafka in the arafel, dafka in, specifically in the dark cloud, Asher Shem Elohim, that's where God is. That's where the Shekhinah is. That when we look at people and we say, ah, nothing's going to come from them, why should I show them honor? I look at this situation, ah, this is so, I've got to, you know, give any credence to this? No. Our job is to recognize that wherever we are and whoever we meet and every situation we're in, we have to feel that lechem. And that's why lechem's a milchama. That's the struggle. That's the war. It's lifnei Elohim. It's always in front of God. And when I recognize that everything is in front of God, then I learn the lesson of Yisro, the lesson of being able to show honor to everybody, including myself, to be able to praise Hashem, to feel the Sakar Sato, this gratitude, and whatever situation I am in, I will be able to bring godliness into the situation and be able to serve Hashem to the best of my ability and the best of my capability. Because the truth of the matter is, wherever we are, it's lifnei Elohim, it's in front of God.